Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your life? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management with tenant-paid screenings, rent payment processing, online lease creation with eSign, and a suite of incredible landlord tools. You'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. So if you're tired of the rental chaos and crave seamless, efficient management, head over to KeyCheck.com and sign up today. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners.
Welcome to the Landlord Diaries, where we talk about midterm rentals and the opportunities behind them. We'll share landlord stories, talk about maximizing investment potential, and discuss how to live the very best landlord life. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Furnished Finder, the leader and largest online marketplace for midterm rentals. Remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
It's your host team of the Landlord Diaries, Kelly Bailey and Katie Lyon, coming to you as midterm rental investors and Furnished Finder marketing team. Katie here is our marketing director of Furnished Finder, and we talk a decent amount about design today, which is right up your alley. What did you gather from Justin and Shelley about design and anything else?
Oh my gosh. This is one where I'm usually like a total audio listener to podcasts, but like if you're not watching this on YouTube, you have to go into the show notes and look at their listings because they are beyond beautiful and they've made themselves stand out in such a cool and powerful way. And it's like moving the needle for them as far as how their properties are performing. So like definitely log on to Furnished Finder and look at their properties because they're incredible. But Shelley and Justin, they just have a lot of actionable items as far as tips to making these really cool accent walls, ways to stand out. We also talk about ways that they stand out in terms of hospitality and tenant services, which is really cool and something that the more competition that we start to see within midterm rentals is another way that you can use to stand out. So this is a really great one, especially if you're into design. They do some flipping. It's chock full of information. So we hope you enjoy. And please, if you are finding these episodes to be helpful, please share with someone else that you think might benefit from them.
Shelley and Justin Knupp are Knoxville, Tennessee real estate investors that have experience with flips, one of which was featured on First Time Flippers, Season 8, Episode 8. On properties they decide to keep, they embrace the midterm rental strategy and typically aim for $1,000 per property in monthly cash flow. The Knupps have turned their passion into a booming business with two companies, Sensible Designs and Restored Home and Design Co. Stay tuned through the end of the episode for outstanding design tips in regards to accent walls and color application. Justin, Shelley, thanks for being with us today. How are you guys?
We are good. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. We got to meet Justin and Shelley at the 2023 BPCon, Bigger Pockets Conference. If you haven't been, it's amazing. Definitely worth checking out. That one and the 2024 Midterm Rental Summit would be the two that I recommend. We had our first one last year. It was amazing. So best conferences of the year, in my opinion. So tell us about your real estate journey to midterm rentals. And Shelley, why don't we start with you?
All right. So actually, probably a few years ago, before we were really even interested in rentals, we have a friend that she came over and she's a traveling nurse. And so she had mentioned to us, I think we'd asked her, like, how did she find housing in these different places that were willing to let her come and stay, you know, for 12 to 13 weeks. And so she told us, actually, about Furnished Finder. And at that point, it kind of just stuck in the back of our mind, but we weren't into real estate yet. And so kind of fast forwarding now, we're at a place where we started with just flipping properties and then quickly realized that to I guess, get the generational wealth that we needed to start holding on to some of these properties. And so we just got guidance from friends that were doing the same thing, and ended up deciding that we were going to go with the midterm route instead of doing long term, or we couldn't do short term because of zoning issues. But midterm was the way we decided to go ultimately.
Nice. And Justin, what's your story of how y'all got to midterm rentals? Anything to add to that?
So my background is in manufacturing, and I would say the first eye-opening to rentals is just not paying for, you know, the taxes after selling a lot of the flips. So that was, and also, like Shelley said, the long-term passive income. So that's what really interested me as well.
All right. So you guys have done flips that have ranged in profit from $65,000 to $166,000, which is amazing. And from 8 weeks to 13 months. So how do you decide if you're going to flip a property? And then how do you decide if you're going to keep it and turn it into a midterm rental?
I would say really it has a lot to do with numbers. If we can look at a property and evaluate that and know that after we've renovated it, that we still have a good chunk of equity that we could sell that for and make a profit, then we really consider that. If it's one of those that we're like, we can renovate this and add value to it, but maybe it doesn't make sense to sell it because the numbers right now don't make sense, then we will look at it from a perspective of, well, what could we get in rent for this versus what our mortgage would be, and different things like that. And so we really just kind of look at the bigger picture of each property. And kind of what we've done, which is really how we've gotten our start. A lot of people will ask us this, like, how did you get money to invest in rental properties? Because obviously a lot of times you need 20% down. What we would do is we would buy a property to flip. We would sell that, and then we would take those proceeds to then buy a property that we could hold on to and just continue to kind of roll that over into each property, because it is hard to come up with that money up front. So that's been a system that's worked for us that we've started, I guess, about a year and a half ago.
And I think two more potential factors. Do you guys look at location and the size of the property as decision factors of whether you're going to turn it into a midterm rental or flip it?
Yes, we look at the location, and then also one of the things that we look at is just to keep as a rental is how can this one stand out compared to all the rest of, you know, the competitors. So we actually, the ones that are more quirky is the ones that we keep, just because, you know, pictures go a long ways when people are looking online, and, you know, experience for people, our biggest thing, not only just numbers and making things work, is most of the time it's single women that are nurses coming in town. We just want to make sure the area is safe as well. So that's a big priority for us as well.
Definitely. And proximity to hospitals as well. You know, most of them don't want to be any more than 20 minutes, I would say, from a hospital that they're going to be at. So we kind of always look at that too.
I was just going to say that's a really good thing to note for anyone who's property is on Furnished Finder or they're thinking about it, because we did start with travel nurses and traveling medical professionals. That was like our bread and butter, how we got started, how everything began. And since then, it's expanded quite a bit. And there's all sorts of different tenant types that are traveling for 30 days or more. However, there is still a really big market for these traveling medical professionals, right? But just like you said, like safety and comfort and proximity to the hospital, those are three of the top things for them. So I think it goes back to knowing your tenant type and knowing how to market to their needs and desires on your Furnished Finder listing.
I want to make sure and circle back to something Justin said. You said you like to buy the quirky or turn the quirky properties into midterm rentals. Quirky can have a negative or a positive connotation, and in this case, it's positive. So what factors make something quirky that you're like, yes, I want this one? And I think y'all also typically do like full guts. You look for the house like that's in the worst shape that you want to renovate, and then you add bedrooms and bathrooms as well. So let's get into that part of the conversation a little bit.
Yeah, I would say just the interior feel is, you know, as far as what I would say quirky, not your cookie cutter house that somebody would not have as much fun in staying in and stuff like that, right? And then Shelley does a great job with just adding different accent walls and colors and stuff like that to really attract clientele.
One house specifically that I would say, and we called it the bird house because when you walked into it, it was actually our first midterm rental. Yeah. When you walked into it, it has four levels, but it's like a two-story house. So if that could, if you can kind of like wrap your head around that, like it would go up like three stairs to this level and then 10 stairs to this level and then down two stairs to this level. And like it had all of these different like gables and peaks within the house that it reminded us of a birdhouse.
That's like the 80s or 90s, right? When they were like, how many levels can we put into this house? Can we fit six levels into here?
Yeah, definitely. And when we bought it originally, we were thinking maybe we would just flip it and sell it. And then the more we were in there, we're like, this could be a hard sell because the floor plan's so wonky, but it's such a cool house. So we just really embraced that. And that's was a lot of fun to do that one.
Most of the houses that we look at, whether we keep them long term or we sell them, we typically go into full gut houses, ones that need a lot of work. So that's actually good for us, for the ones we keep all long term and also the ones we sell. Most of the mechanicals, HVAC, plumbing, and electrical are all brand new through the whole house. So, you know, the maintenance issues, knock on wood, aren't right away. So.
And Justin, are you doing a lot of that work yourself? Are you guys hiring it out, working with the GC? How do your companies kind of integrate with that?
So Shelly has many hats. Another hat that she has is a general contractor, which is something to be proud of as a woman in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
When she told me years ago she was going to go into the construction, I said, you're going into the most cutthroat industry there is for women. So we do a lot of work ourselves, but we also, over the years, have created great relationships with subcontractors that we can depend on, and we know that they'll give us fair pricing. So
that's amazing. All right, so we've talked about your properties. Walk us through, what does your portfolio look like now as far as your midterm rentals, which is your entire hold portfolio, right? So walk us through your portfolio.
So we currently have five midterm rentals that are like people are in them. We have tenants. They're running. They're operating smoothly. We are currently working on two more that we'll be adding to our portfolio, hopefully within the next couple of months. Our first one we purchased, I guess it's probably close to 2 years now. Ironically, the funny thing about that was the birdhouse. We had put it on. We had a few traveling nurses, some military families come through, and then we had some girls that were moving back from another country, and they moved in there while they were looking for permanent housing, and they have been there for a year. So they've kind of turned into long-term, but still with that midterm, you know, it's furnished and everything like that. We have a couple of duplexes, and then what am I missing? That's our five. And then we have one more property. It's a 1930s bungalow that we're actually converting into two units. And it's kind of another one of those quirky houses.
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder has everything you need to find your next tenant. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees, markups, and commissions, and hello to direct bookings. If you're ready to experience all the benefits renting your property for 30 days or more, head over to furnishedfinder.com where you can list your property for one low annual price. We make it easy to get started.
It's such a fun portfolio. I can't wait to get to the design conversation because you guys really do add the quirky in such a way that it's like, wow, that is a nice place. And how did they come up with it? That's what I think. So I can't wait to get there. But first, let's talk about how has Furnished Finder been a huge part of your midterm rental journey?
I would say if it weren't for Furnished Finder, we would probably not have the success right now that we've had, especially with the midterm. We are listed on a few other platforms, and honestly, we don't get the feedback that we're looking for like we do with Furnished Finder as far as the type of tenant that we're looking for. So it's really been a game changer for us. And again, we went into it knowing that we wanted to try to appeal to the traveling nurse because of zoning issues and different things like that. Short term just wasn't where we wanted to be. We do also have families that are relocating and different things like that. I know you were mentioning that earlier. It's not just traveling nurses anymore. So I would say overall, it has really been a game changer for us and just kind of separating ourselves from that in between the midterm. And a lot of people still don't know about it, which is really surprising to me. We'll ask people, well, what about midterm? And they're like, well, what's that?
Yeah. Right.
So it's actually really cool that it's newer because it's not, you know, there's not as much competition right now as there are in some of these other markets.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder is the place for you. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees and hello to direct bookings for 30-day plus days. It's a win-win for everyone involved. So if you're ready to experience the joys of midterm renting and take a load off your landlord's shoulders, head over to FurnishedFinder.com today. We make it easy to get started. We're grateful to Furnished Finder for sponsoring this episode, and we're sure you'll love what they have in store for you.
Like, even realtors, it shocks me, like, how many realtors don't know the term yet either.
Yeah, it's huge. But you're right. There is a lot of space to improve. I was even talking to a realtor yesterday who is an investor herself, and she manages a lot of investors' properties. And she was like, her eyes were like being opened wide open to a lot of, you know, midterm rentals, which she was doing, but she didn't know the name of it, or she didn't know a lot of the different insights. So there's still a lot of room to grow. There's still a lot more tenants coming this way, especially as we all keep kind of memorializing this nomadic lifestyle, right? Like, I used to go into an office every day. My husband used to go into an office every day. We haven't done that in a really long time. So if we wanted to go to Knoxville and stay at one of Shelly and Justin's places for 2 months over the summer, we could find it on Furnished Finder and do that, right? So anyway, let's talk about the profits, because that's really, you know, we're all in this to benefit financially, either short-term or long-term gains from our properties. So talk us through the numbers, not necessarily on the flip side, but on the hold side. What are you guys looking to cash flow per property? And how is that working out for you with your Furnished Finder properties?
So our target is at least $1,000 profit per door per month. So Shelly mentioned to you that we're at five midterms. It's five doors, right? Three dwellings. So that's our goal. The multifamilies for midterms seem to cash flow a lot better, obviously, because you have more tenants in them. So
cool.
Yeah, so, we provide, like, we pay for, as I'm sure a lot of people in the midterm, we include utilities and Wi-Fi. So, like, they come, and essentially it's like a short term. You can bring your suitcase and your toothbrush, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
So that cash flow number is after we have paid, you know, all of that as well. Utilities, Wi-Fi, all of that.
Yeah, we add in pest control to that as well, depending on what part of the country. And it's like lawn care, pest control, Wi-Fi. Some people add on the cable aspects. It's like whatever you need to make your part of the country successful. They just want to, our Furnished Finder guests just want to come in with their suitcase and be able to live their work life, go explore the area they're in when they're not working, and let you take care of the rest. So it's such a great tool for corporate travelers, that's for sure. So speaking of tools, what are some of the tools y'all have in your midterm rental toolbox, and, you know, are any of those tools on Furnished Finder or KeyCheck?
So I actually right now I control all of our Furnished Finder, like connecting with the tenants and different things like that. We are probably not the poster children yet on the right tools. That's something we're still trying to learn, kind of every day, on like what works the best for us. We do a lot of collecting of our rents and stuff just through Venmo or things like that. But really, it's just taking it off of the Furnished Finder site, and we'll try to get on a phone call or a text or an email, and then connecting with them through that. And then we're very hands-on as far as after the tenants come. We check on them often. We leave them little welcome gifts when they come. You know, we give them ideas on places that would be good to eat, you know, because a lot of them have never been to the area. So I think those are things that people really appreciate, especially whenever sometimes they're traveling alone, like Justin said. But yeah, so I think that kind of sets us apart a little bit, just being very personable with them. And, you know, hey, we had a lot of rain the last few days. So connecting with them, like, is everything okay? Are you guys having any issues? And I think they appreciate that.
Yeah.
I love that you said yet as well, right? Because I think everyone, no matter what their stage, if they have one midterm rental or 100, you're always looking to improve your process.
Yeah.
And if you're not, you're probably turning a blind eye to something. There's always something procedurally that as landlords, we could be doing better or more efficiently. And that's kind of, that's one of the things that's really nice is that on Furnished Finder, you know, you can take those leads and you can put them into whatever systems you want, right? If you have established ones that work for you. Key Check, for everyone who doesn't know, is Furnished Finder's sister company. That's kind of been lurking in the background for a little bit and kind of unfairly so, because it's a cool platform that just has those tools for tenant screening and custom leases and online payments. All those things, if you know you're trading out, like you said, Shelly, your wrenches and your hammers for, like, you know, the business tools. But it's never required. We have it there as an option, and it's a great option, but you can put it into any systems you want. But if anyone's looking for one, check it out. But yeah, that's what I think is so unique, is that we also give the option to do what is best for you. So
I call Key Check my life support. It's like when someone says, hey, I'd like to move forward. Great. Let me connect you with our sister company, Key Check. We do our tenant screenings through there. It's a soft pull. It's not going to ding your credit score, and it's only $39. So, you know, anyone that's over 18 in the house, we want to make sure that we go through the normal steps of getting you screened. And if everything goes smoothly, then we'll move forward to the state specific leases. You get to sign it through your email. We don't have to worry about printing anything out, which is nice. And then rent payments as well. So there's so many great tools through Key Check that it's just kind of your life support that is trusted because it's part of the Furnished Finder brand for sure. Mm-hmm.
Very now, cool. Shelly, before we move on, I would love to know more about these welcome gifts that you give, because I think that's like kind of one of the like classic and traditional ways of welcoming a tenant or a guest. And I love it. And I've been kind of toying around the idea of doing that with our tenants, but I'm like, I don't know. What am I supposed to give you? Like, you guys are lucky you're in Knoxville. There's like probably some cute stuff you can get. Like, my properties are not in a place where there's like as much like local culture stuff that's super fun. So I don't know. How do you guys arrange that? And what do you put in there? Because that's such a cool way to welcome people.
Yeah. So honestly, I think that you can really do just about anything, and people are shocked and surprised because people don't do that kind of stuff anymore. So we like to do a handwritten letter, just welcoming them, letting them know if they have any issues to contact us. A lot of times we'll ask them like what they're coming to the area for. So that way, you know, we could say, hey, good luck with looking for a new home, or we hope that your whatever hospital, you know, that things like that. That it goes well for you. So, and we'll do like a lot of snacks and things like that. Just stuff. So they're getting there, they're moving in. Maybe they haven't gone to the grocery store yet and, you know, they just need a little snack or something like that. If I know we're pet friendly in a lot of our properties. So if I know that they're coming with a cat or a dog, we may leave treats for the pet as well. Most people that travel with their dog or cat, they really love their animal. So it's like an extension of their family. So they appreciate that as well. At Christmas time, those people that came in, we decorated for Christmas so that they didn't have to worry about that. And we would leave like hot chocolate and things like that. So it's not necessarily like a set gift. Most of the time it's a snack or something like that, something that they can eat or drink. But it kind of just depends on the person and who's coming.
It sounds like you get to know them and then you kind of tweak the basket to something that you think will be a great fit for that guest. That's really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
That's like next level. I feel like first level is like you've got a standard gift and you've got 100 of them in your closet and you're ready to go. You guys are like level four, where you're like, let me get to know if you like chocolate chip cookies or peanut butter cookies, and I'm going to make sure we get you that. That's so cool. And that's going to really set you guys apart.
Yeah, thank you.
There was one tenant we didn't do all of our homework on, and when we were there to clean up the place, they didn't touch anything. But then we also found a whole bunch of dietary stuff in the fridge. So
I think they may have been like vegan or something. I didn't, you know, I guess I need to ask food allergies or something, you know. You just assume everybody likes snacks, but not everybody does eat snacks. But it was they drank the drinks, they didn't eat the snacks, so.
Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your midterm rental business? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management. With tenant-paid screenings, online rent payment processing, custom lease creation, and a suite of incredible landlord tools, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners. Visit KeyCheck.com to unlock the power of stress-free property management and take your rental business to new heights.
So we're talking about all these different touches. Like, you have excellent communication. You have amazing gift baskets. We'll talk later or now about the fact that you actually, when all of your guests check out, you ask them, hey, is there anything you would have liked to have or would have done differently about the property? Like, you ask for feedback. And I'm really curious what type of feedback you get.
So when we first started, we didn't put some of the essentials in, like, that I would have thought that you would need for a midterm. So like, one person really wanted a hair dryer. So that was something that they gave some feedback on. I'm trying to think of what else there might have been.
Cooking stuff that we didn't have in the...
Yeah, some people like certain appliances, you know, like an Instapot or a crock pot or things like that when they're staying longer term. So I don't cook very often at all. So I don't necessarily always think of those things. So it's been helpful to be like, what's missing? What did you need? Could we, you know, did you have enough towels and sheets and different things like that? Because, you know, we go in and we clean in the beginning, but for the next 12 to 13 weeks, they're on their own. They have a washer and dryer, but they have to wash their own stuff. So, you know, can they cycle through and make a bed and still have a load in the washer and dryer, things like that. We haven't had a ton of nothing major that anybody has said, hey, you're missing this. So that's been nice.
Yeah, there's always certain like nice to haves, right? And then there's like the have to haves. But that's I think another note of hospitality you guys do. All these like threads I'm seeing with you guys is like how you stand out, and it seems like you just do a great job with that. So, all right. So let's talk about, speaking of standing out, what are some of your best tips for standing out on Furnished Finder so that you can get amazing tenants and keep those units full?
So I think that design is so important to me anyway, in any aspect. I do client renovations and stuff as well, client design. And so I think that so many people, all they ever look for or all they ever have to look at is your pictures online, you know, when they're weeding through, okay, well, this is the area. Let me look through all these different listings. So it was really important to us from the beginning to make sure that we were standing out. But not only that, every property that we renovate, whether we're selling it or we're keeping it, we try to keep the mindset of like, would we move in here if we needed to? And if it does not reach that threshold of that standard, then like, we got to keep working and make this better. And so I have so much fun with it, which is one of the reasons I love midterm, because with long term, you don't really get to do that kind of stuff. You know, you're painting the walls gray and you're throwing stuff in there, and like the next person, they bring their furniture and stuff. So I think that's why we really love midterm too, because it's the best of both worlds, really.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I think that we just really wanted to make sure we stood out in that aspect.
I think we're here, Katie. I'm excited. We get to talk about the design application and the accent walls and the color pop. So we're going to do something a little bit differently than we always do on the show. Well, first, we're going to talk about some overall design conversations, but then we're going to get into some specific details about rooms on her Furnished Finder listings that I was just wow factor. Like, oh my goodness, can you come do this at my house or teach me how to do it? So that's kind of the goal, is that at the end that you guys will have some knowledgeable tips of how to create your own accent walls and color pops and do it in a way that won't be yuck and disgusting, but really nice and eye appealing and really a way to attract more tenants to your properties. So let's start off with, what are the first steps when it comes to planning an accent wall?
It all comes in your head, not just blind on the wall. So
yeah. Justin, usually I'm just kind of bossing him around and telling him what I think I want it to look like, and it's trial and error. But truly, I may be on Pinterest or somewhere and just kind of see an idea of something that I love. And I try not to replicate things necessarily exactly. But I may take something and be like, okay, how can I put a twist on that? And so it gives me the overall concept and the idea, but then we kind of try to always make it our own. And painting them vibrant colors. And they're really not that complicated to do, especially once you kind of get the hang of it. Once you do one or two of them, you realize how much of a difference it makes to do something. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money.
So let's get into the application side of it. I think one thing y'all said is know what's behind your wall before you get started. And then, I think some people maybe use MDF and maybe y'all use wood. Like, what are the go-to things that you want to make sure to do right so that you don't fail in your accent wall?
So I'm known to take pictures of every stage of the construction aspect. So wherever she wants the accent walls, I already know what's behind the wall. And then we just try to find the studs with the stud finder and try to apply the nails into the studs as well, if possible.
And any specific materials?
So it all depends on the job. So I do all of our doors and trim applications. So there could be situations where we have leftover MDF from some of our cased openings or wood leftover, and that's what we use for our accent walls, just to save on cost.
That's a great budget tip, right? Use what you have left over, especially because if you're going to paint it, it can be a different material than if you're going to keep it raw. This is, you guys, if you're not on YouTube watching this and you're listening to it on audio, make a note afterwards if you're driving or whatever. When you get home or you have a second, look at the show notes and look at the links for Justin and Shelley's properties, because this whole conversation about design and accent walls is going to really make more sense then. Their accent walls are stunning. They are absolutely stunning. It's like they've taken pages out of HGTV magazine and put it in their properties, but then also made it better. But they're nothing, there's something that you could do, right? And I think it just takes a little bit of bravery and a little bit of trial and error and being okay making some mistakes, maybe. My husband and I did an accent wall in our house, and we did the whole thing. We love it. And they were like, I don't know what color to paint it. So it's been sitting there for almost a year. But, we'll get there. But I love what you said about just being creative and having fun with it. Also knowing what's behind the walls. My husband and I, we were hanging curtains once, and I think we drilled no less than 10 holes, and we kept hitting something
goodness.
Metal. There's in my living, there's a row of 10 holes. Because we're like, I don't know what we're hitting, but it's metal. We should move. And at my sister's house, actually, her house is really, really old. So she's got that plaster walls where stud finders don't work.
Oh, yeah.
We found this thing called a stud buddy. It's like, you probably know what this is, Justin. It's like a magnet and it hooks to the screws in the studs. And I thought that was so cool. And we were just doing a project. And we were like, stud buddy, we need the stud buddy. So, you know. Okay. Anyway, so talking about going back to kind of the color and the distinction and creativity you guys do. Shelly, I know you're probably the leader with the color designs with these accent walls and more. How do you decide about a color and what goes into that? Because I think for most of us, it's very overwhelming, right? You're looking at like the wall at Sherwin-Williams and I start to have a little panic attack.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let me say first that I am like a risk taker in pretty much all aspects of life. So, and I love color. So I'm not afraid to try something and like, I'm not afraid to kind of be wild and crazy with it. And especially when it's not my own house and like this, these pictures like need to stand out. Like to me, that is like the perfect scenario because I can kind of do whatever I want. On one of our houses, we painted all the doors pink. And Justin was like, what in the world? And then when we were done, he's like, oh, it works. Like, this is good. But I would say for somebody that is kind of doesn't necessarily know or isn't sure, start with maybe like think of what your favorite color would be if you were to paint something. And then I always tend to kind of mute it down a little bit when it comes to like blues and greens. Let me say this. I'm either really bold or I tend to mute it down because a lot of times those in-betweens, like say green, for example, I love a really dark emerald green and I love a really soft green. You kind of go in the middle there, you get like the neon lemon sage or not sage, you know, those colors. Those to me are a little bit scarier because they can look tacky pretty quick. So I tend to be on one end of the spectrum or the other when it comes to color, like either really soft or really bold. I kind of shy away from the middle ground.
And your bold colors work. Like they work and they look so good. So seriously, if you have not seen these guys' properties, like get on and see them. They're so cool. But
oh, thank you.
That's great advice for colors because yeah, it is. It's a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk specifics about, I believe it's going to be two properties. So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a background so that you know which property we're talking about. And then we'll make sure and describe it very well so that those that aren't looking at the photos still get a good grasp of the conversation. Okay. So we're going to talk about your third midterm rental first, which is on Emory Road. It's a duplex with 2-1 on each side. You purchased it for $215. You put $125 in renovations. And then the cash flow is around 1.5 monthly, which is all $1,500 monthly, which is one of the benefits of a duplex is you typically get a higher cash flow than you would with a single family home. So we are looking specifically at one of the accent walls that you designed. It is like navy and wood, and the way the lighting that y'all pick, I don't know if every piece of light, is it your photographer or there's certain lights that just photograph so well because every one of your photos have like these amazing pops with the ceiling light, which is not always the case. So let's talk about that accent wall and the ceiling light and how you kind of tied it all together.
So our electrician hates me because I always pick the weirdest lights. No, he gives me a hard time and I purposefully try to pick crazy things. Actually, I take our pictures on my iPhone for our listing. So
no, those are not iPhone pictures. Okay, everyone else listening, she must be a professional photographer. Don't listen to her advice there. No. Get professional photos. But wow, those do not look like iPhone pictures.
Well, I actually also use Lightroom. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's like a photo editing app. So when I take the pictures on my iPhone, I then convert them into Lightroom to brighten them up and different things like that. So it's not 100% like it's just my iPhone picture, but I don't have a professional crazy camera. But I will say pictures are very important. So if you're not comfortable with it, definitely hire someone like you said.
And I do want to say that you guys, like half the battle with these pictures is getting it bright enough, which an app like Lightroom can really, really help with. Making it really, really clean. I see so many pictures on Furnished Finder where the pillows are laying flat and looks like someone just had a coma and was like, the pillow is so flat, or they hibernated on it. And I'm like, you know, give it a little zhuzh, spice it up a little bit, make it look really, really welcoming. Also in your pictures, the beds are always made perfectly. The lights are always on, the windows are open, and that's a huge, huge, huge thing. So if you are going to go the iPhone route, which there's nothing wrong with that, you know, we even have an ebook with tips on how to do that, but make sure that you're getting those core things down, because any picture of a flat pillow or a dark room, you can't change that no matter how you spin it. So, just love how you guys have done this.
Thank you.
So where do you pick your lighting from? Is there a certain shop you like to go to if someone wants to get a similar style lighting that you use in all of your places? And to describe it, they're kind of, to me, they kind of look like cool coral or ocean features. It's like they're always round. They give off this like really cool glow in the pictures. And some of them have like prongs coming off. It's really beautiful.
So actually I shop for a lot of our light fixtures on Wayfair and Amazon. Every now and then, you know, you might see an ad come up on Instagram or Facebook that like shows a light and you're like, where is that from? Like, I need to find it. And I'll go down a rabbit hole and I'll order something from a random website that I pray that it actually shows up. And, but overall I would say Wayfair, Amazon, great places, really good prices. But you could be nice to your electrician and maybe put together the light fixture before they have to hang it if you want.
Oh, good tip. Okay, we're going to need those Amazon links for the show notes for anyone that sees your pictures like, I want that specific piece of lighting as well. So any of your cool Amazon stuff like that, if you want to give us any specifics we talk about on the show, please do so. But let's get into for an accent wall and someone that's doing their first one, what's an average cost they should kind of plan for, and time frame and things like that?
So I would say you could probably achieve a good accent wall for under a couple $100 in materials. That would be your wood or MDF and your paint. Like Justin said earlier, I really try to look at like his scraps from when he's running trim and things like that, and see like what can we make out of that. In fact, the wall that you're referring to with the board strips and the navy wall, that was just actually strips that he had cut off of something else. And I'm like, okay, well, what can I make with those? And I did another one in that same side in the other bedroom where I just did the same thing. But I'd say average couple $100, you could achieve it. As far as time, it really just depends on how complicated you want it to be. You can make very simple wall details and knock them out in an hour. Or I've done some sometimes and it's taken me a couple of days.
Awesome. And Justin, the last portion on the accent wall conversation, unless Katie's got a follow-up question she'd like to add, what are like the go-to simple tool? Like if you're going to do the most elegant and simple accent wall, what are your go-to tools for that?
So to save on costs, we usually buy larger, wider material. So most of our material is 1x whatever. So if you buy a purchase of 1x6x8 foot and you have a table saw, you can rip those down to a 1x2, and that'll save you a lot of money on cost instead of buying a 1x2x8 foot at the store. And then miter saw is a must. And also brad nail, and then all the brad nails for that.
So you're saying I need a table saw
and a miter saw?
Yeah,
just maybe a miter saw.
Just watch your fingers.
Maybe don't try this at home. Maybe do a different, simpler version at home that's maybe just some paint. And Katie, you've done an accent wall. Tell us about your accent wall, because I think you did it yourself.
We did it ourselves. We made it probably way too overcomplicated. My husband likes to take things. He went to school for graphic design. So he likes to take things and then he's like, okay, well, now let's figure out the angles and then do it. And we definitely had to go like piece by piece. And then we're like, okay, what can we do next? I don't know. But that being said, like I said, we kind of got stuck at the color and it's been sitting there. So Shelly, maybe I'll send you a picture and you can help me out with some color.
Do that. I'll help you.
Because that's where we are so stuck. But actually, when my daughter was born for her nursery, I'm in Colorado. We have a lot of blue pine. So about 10 years ago, 5-10 years ago for a while, there was some beetles that went through the forest and they killed like a huge, huge portion of the pine trees.
Aww.
So now all of our stores are flooded with, it's called blue pine or beetle kill pine. It's a really cool pine, but it has all this shades of blue into it. And that's where the beetles got to it. But it looks really, really interesting. I don't think it's as... Do you guys have that out there, Shelly and Justin?
No.
It's really cool. If you look up blue pine or beetle kill pine, and out here, it's like dirt cheap because we have so much of it because like literally all these trees died. So we did a whole wall of beetle kill pine and we got the tongue and groove and just put it in because we were like, we knew our limits a little bit better than we do now. But now I want a table saw. Because those 1x2s, the 1x2s get expensive. They do. And the 1x8s or 1x6s, like you're saying, are a lot cheaper. And now my husband's going to be like, you don't need any more tools. You're not a contractor.
All right, guys. So we have about 10 minutes left. So we're going to wrap up with two, the last parts of the conversation, which will be the ColourPop and how to combine bold colors together to make it work. And then we'll touch a bit on Shelly's auction experience with, you know, being a celebrity on First Time Flippers. So I'm going to describe, Shelly, why don't you, do you want to describe the emerald green ceiling room or do you want me to describe it? I made some notes about it.
You go ahead.
Okay. So let's see. So we're talking about a room that is like, wow, really bold in color. And then you think, how did she even put those things together? And yes, it really works. So we've got not only an emerald green ceiling, it also has accent wall type pieces to the ceiling. We've got one of those really cool ivy walls with a pink neon sign. There's like a pink and bluish Turkish rug. And then you've got, I can't tell, maybe a teal green. Maybe it's an emerald green couch and so like some tans in there and some like maybe rustic orange and whites. It's amazing. So how can someone combine colors together to make it work? What's your base recommendation?
So I would say first and foremost, don't be afraid to just try it and get a little crazy with it, like because you'll be surprised at what will actually work together. If I either tend to stick, like I said earlier, really bold or really more on the light side. So I feel like once you kind of pick one bold color, if you can kind of go on the opposite side of that color wheel for your other accents that go with it, like on that one, that's the one that the doors are pink and then the ceiling is emerald green. Like those colors couldn't be more opposite and they work together. And then a lot of times when you pick a color like emerald green, you can also play around with colors within that, like a few shades darker or a few shades lighter within that family and use that for furniture and different things like that. But I really do love that we get to kind of do these properties because it is like my goal to try to think outside the box and to really see what I can make work. And so far, can you think of anything that we've done and we're like, wow, that doesn't go?
No, everything's worked out.
It probably will happen eventually though that, you know, like maybe I went a little too far or that kind of color didn't go with that.
One thing we talk about is when corporate travelers are looking for a place, they want to level up, right? Either they want to be comfortable and feel like, you know, it's somewhere that they can relax and call home, but they also are looking for the opportunity to level up for a bit and try something that they wouldn't normally try in their own home. And so all those, I think that's really good advice about go really bold or more on the mild side, because that's a great starting tip for everybody. Now, Katie, marketing director of Furnish Finder, do you want to add anything to the color conversation here?
I just want to highlight that note that you talked about with the color wheel, because I think most of us haven't thought about a color wheel since we were 8 years old and sitting in art class and learning what a color wheel was. But, and I'm saying that because I have not, when you said that, I was like, duh, opposite sides of the color wheel. But you're right. So if you go into Sherwin-Williams or you're on Pinterest and it feels very overwhelming, start looking at the opposite, because that's all over in our world. Like if you look at a lot of like the football teams and stuff, their colors are opposite color wheel. So I think that's a really great, great tip you gave, is like pick one color and then flip it.
And so let's wrap up this by tying it into Furnish Finder. Do you feel like because of your bold colors, are you seeing like a ton of leads coming in on each property? How far in advance are people booking your properties? What percentage of your business comes from Furnish Finder? That kind of stuff. How does it tie into Furnish Finder?
I would say that we stay pretty well booked. Usually our only downtime is in between, you know, when we're cleaning. And it may end up being some of those are a week or two, just depending on someone's next contract coming in. So I think it's worked well in our favor. A lot of people comment on the decor and just the coziness of our properties and different things like that. We actually, I would say, get 90% of our tenants from Furnish Finder. So it's worked well. I don't know what the rest of your question was. Sorry, I got sidetracked there.
It was my fault. I combined a lot together. You answered it fabulously.
Okay, good.
So let's wrap up the last part of the conversation with the celebrity talk of first-time flippers. So you found this property. Actually, why don't you tell the story? It's you and your mom. It's your first flip. I think this is what got your passion and your wheels going and put you on the real estate adventure in the first place, after being a little lonely after retiring from being a nurse and then feeling a little lonely as a stay-at-home mom, and then you jumped into real estate. So just tell us about the process and what it was like being on first-time flippers.
Yeah, and so at the time, Justin was traveling a lot for his previous job. This was before we worked together full time. And I do not like staying at home alone. And we also had our two young boys. So I would go up and visit my parents. They live about 2 hours away from us. And we just got into a conversation with someone that was buying these tax sale auction homes. And I was shocked at how cheap they were going for. And I'm like, this is crazy. So my mom is also a risk taker, and she likes to do kind of crazy things as well. So it was pretty easy to talk her into like, hey, let's look into this and see if we want to buy one of these houses. We'd never done anything like it before. So we went to an auction. We ended up winning the bid for this house. We paid $15,000 for it, which is insane to think about now.
That's a good deal on a house.
Yeah, definitely. And so at a tax auction, you actually have to sit on the property for a year before you technically like own it 100%. Like the owner has the right to come back and pay off all of their debts.
What does that mean for the money that you've put into it? Are you still covered, or there's a risk that you're going to lose money on the project?
No. So actually, people will do investments like this because what happens is every month that you have that property, the person, when they come back and pay their debts, they owe you 1% interest of your total investment every month.
Ah.
So okay. If they come back on month 12, then they have to pay 12% interest on the money that you have invested in that property, and you get that plus your money back. So some people, I think, do it in the hopes that the people will come back and buy their properties, because then they just have made that money. But during that year, I had seen, I don't know if it was a commercial or something for the show First Time Flippers, and I was like, oh, we're getting ready to do that. I should look it up and just see. Lo and behold, there was an application to fill out. And I honestly never thought it would turn into anything. In fact, I didn't even tell my mom that I was filling it out. We went back in the first two rounds of auditions. I didn't even tell my mom because I'm like, I'm not even going to, you know, I don't want to get her excited or anything if it turns into nothing. Well, on the third round, I made it that far. They were like, we want to do a Skype video with you and your mom. And I'm like, oh, I guess I better tell her. So we actually did a Skype video together. And a couple weeks later, found out that we were selected for the show. And we filmed for probably 4 months, I guess. Just went through. It was a production company out of
Brooklyn.
And they would come down like probably 6 to 8 times. They would come down at different times in construction and tell us what they wanted to film, you know, laying tile or hanging cabinets or whatever it was. And so they would come down and we would do that. And I mean, we had so much fun. We weren't allowed to watch it at all before it aired on national television. So we weren't
they
sure
don't want
what
feedback.
We were gonna
look like. Yeah. They don't want you to be able to say, can you change this or tweak this? But so you sold it for $115,000, I think. So you made a $65,000 profit on it. Mm-hmm. Great job. That's amazing.
Thank you.
One thing everyone always wants to know when you go on a show like that is, did they add any drama anywhere? Did they make you and your mom like bicker or something that you wasn't really going on? Anything like that?
No, it was very, I mean, other than them wanting to film certain things, it was 100% like who we were and how we would talk to each other. Occasionally, like if I would say something that they didn't like get, like someone maybe didn't have the camera pointed at me the right way, they would ask me to repeat myself, which was difficult to have like the same enthusiasm twice in a row. But no, it was completely unscripted. Wasn't like some of the shows that you see.
Well, so Katie, any last parts of this conversation?
I don't think so. You guys are so great. I love the ways that you make yourselves stand out, from picking the quirky properties and keeping the quirky properties to making them look amazing. And then also how you treat your tenants so great with your hospitality, that it's just something that I think is refreshing and that everybody can take a note from to make themselves even better landlords than they might have been before.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being with us. Quick reminder, any of the links are going to be in the show notes to see their properties on Furnish Finder. If you want to connect for their design companies and their construction companies, and then also if you want to watch their first time flipper episode, we have the link for that as well. So we really appreciate your time today. You guys, any last things you want to say to the audience before we say farewell until next week?
If you haven't started and you just keep wanting to dive into midterm rentals, just do it. 2024 is your year. We all have to start somewhere. Just surround yourself with people that are encouraging and, you know, have your back. You will fail. It's just how significant that failure is going to be, and you got to learn from your mistakes and keep going. We Shelly and I have learned a lot over the past few years, and we're still learning. So,
yep.
Yeah, and one of the nice things about midterm rentals is your exit strategy is long-term rentals. So that's
exactly.
A pretty darn good exit strategy. Well, thanks for being here. If you are loving our show, don't forget to like, subscribe, comment. We read all the comments. We love your comments. We love your reviews, and we appreciate you guys and look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks
a great
for having
week,
us.
Everyone.
Thank you.